Good morning, church. Okay, you know the drill. We can do way better than that. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Woohoo! Yay. Welcome to this worship service here at Spanish Fort United Methodist Church. Today, as we get ever closer to Pentecost, we celebrate Ascension Sunday. So let's all keep that in our mind as Bill is going to preach a wonderful sermon today about the Ascension of Jesus. And now I would ask you, if you would, please stand and greet those around you in the name of Christ. All right, as you return to your seats, you may be seated, and now let's open our hearts as Wanda leads us into our time of worship. Thank you, Wanda. Will you stand, please, now and join me in our opening hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."
and thank you for your good singing this morning as we come to praise our risen and ascended Lord on this Ascension Sunday. Together as the people of God, let us affirm what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we come this morning in the spirit of prayer, we want to remember Mrs. Cora Thompson, one of our church members and part of our church family, passed away on last week, and we want to keep her family in prayer. There will be a celebration of life service on August the 5th at Westminster Village at 4 o'clock p.m., and there'll be more information coming on that. Let's keep their family in prayer, as long as the many families, many prayer requests that we know of and don't even know of, as we come to the throne of God's mercy to pray this morning. Let us go together in God. Heavenly Father, we call upon your name this morning to give you thanks for all that you have done. Thanks for all that you are preparing to do, and thanks for all that has been done. We give you glory as we come this morning to take this moment to praise your holy name on this Ascension Sunday. We call upon you to walk with us through our trials and our troubles, because nobody knows the trouble we see. But we praise your holy name, and we give glory that you are a God who has great plans for us and have created us for purpose in your kingdom here on earth. As we come before you this morning, dear Lord, we come giving you our prayer concerns, our prayer requests, our praises, our doubts, and our fears. And when our confidence is shaken, remind us of your redeeming love and your redeeming grace. Today, we pray, come thou fount of every blessing. Tune our heart to sing thy grace. As we come together so boldly for our brothers and sisters in prayer, our church family, in your will and your kingdom, we come together to pray as you have taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. At this time, we invite Miss Kelly to come forward for Children's Moment.
Good morning, everyone. Come on down. I just want to remind everyone and the parents that VBS is coming up soon. I don't want to say how soon because that would scare me. But we still have VBS registration going on, and you can always go online and register your children as participants or you as a volunteer. All right, so guys, can you raise your hand if you have ever let go of a balloon and it floated up, and far away? You have? Did that make you sad whenever it happened? Yeah? No? Okay, well, you know, That's okay. I wanted it to go that way anyway. So this reminds me of something that happened in the Bible. So in the book of Acts, we learn that when Jesus was ready to return to heaven, he took his disciples aside to make sure they understood everything that had happened to him. So he explained why it was important for him to be crucified and raised from the dead to fulfill what the scriptures had said about him. He also told them that he was going to return to his Father in heaven and that the Holy Spirit would come down to be with them. At first, the disciples were sad that Jesus would be leaving them, but then the Bible tells us that Jesus opened their minds so they would understand. Then an amazing thing happened. The Bible tells us that Jesus lifted his hands to bless his disciples, and while he was blessing them, he lifted up and was taken to heaven, up, up, and far away. Now, I don't know how all this looked, but in my imagination, I can see the disciples standing and watching as Jesus ascended higher and higher until he disappeared from view, just like your balloon did. Now, were the disciples sad? They were not. The Bible tells us that when Jesus had gone up to heaven, the disciples worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually in the temple praising God. Now, and isn't that a wonderful thing to do? Yes. All right, let's pray before we go to children's church. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus, your only son, to die for our sin. We know that he has risen from the dead and has returned to heaven. Bless us today as we worship him with great joy. In your name we pray. Amen.
As the ushers come and we prepare for the offering today, we spend these moments before the Lord in prayer and the blessing of the offering. Let us go to God. Good and gracious God, we know that all we have, all we know that is good, comes from you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, the manifold ways you have blessed our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would be faithful in our stewardship. And God, that you would bless and receive these offerings, our gifts, and our tithes to your glory, for your kingdom, and for your church. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Jesus is
Amen. I invite you to remain standing for the reading now of God's holy word. Their scripture today is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here gazing into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Before I get sharing today in the sermon, I have a story I want to share with you. You're probably going to remember this story and not the sermon today, but it's okay. This past week, my daughter lives in Jacksonville. She and her husband had met some new friends. And so they were going to their place, new place they'd never been before. Of course, if you've ever driven around Jacksonville, you know the traffic there is horrible. Yes, thank you very much. So as they were going and they tried to put the address in her GPS, and that didn't work out too well. And then finally she said, "Jesus, help us find this place." And her phone said, "Jesus is not in your contacts." Can I just say to you today, put Jesus in your contacts. Put him at the top of your list on your contacts. Speak with him frequently. Thought I would share that with you this morning. Now to the sermon, right? So this is Ascension Sunday. We affirm it in our creed every Sunday as we did today. Jesus was crucified, dead, buried on the third day. He rose from the dead. Then he ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the quick, the living, and the dead. And following the accounts of Acts 1:3 that I just read to you, Jesus appeared for 40 days after he was risen, prior to his ascension. Ascension Day is traditionally on Thursday, this past Thursday actually, the 40th day after Easter. And some and many Christian traditions, as we Methodists, have moved it to this Sunday today, in observance of a normal day of worship. So we are celebrating this major event in Christ's life and its meaning for us personally and also for the church. Let's face it here, the ascension brings a lot of mystery, right? I mean, you think about this. I can only imagine the disciples seeing Jesus start floating up into the sky and disappearing into the clouds. I think I would have been like those disciples just talked about here, gazing into the sky, wondering what was happening, how it was happening, and what was really the significance of this. Surely there's a lot of mystery involved in the ascension, well beyond our human comprehension. But another important part of this story, and I've wondered from my childhood, actually, why after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that God didn't just at that time say the end of time as we know it. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," one would think he had completed, and certainly he did complete the work of God for the salvation of the world when he made a sacrifice of himself for all of us. But we come also to realize that salvation is not just the forgiveness of our sins. Certainly it is that, but it is more than that. Jesus ascended back to God to await his return, to bring the fullness of the kingdom of God and overcoming all enemies. As we learn from this teaching, Jesus ascended so the Holy Spirit would descend. And he taught them a lot about that in the Gospels, particularly the latter part of the Gospel of John. But there's another part of this story that is very important as well. The resurrection appearances of Jesus affirm our belief in a bodily resurrection. Once again, we say in our creed every Sunday, we believe in the resurrection of the body. Jesus was not a ghost. He was going to send the Holy Ghost, but he was not a ghost. The passage mentions that they had eaten together. We know on other occasions when Jesus appeared with the disciples, and particularly with Doubting Thomas, as we now famously call him, he reached his hands to Christ's hands to touch him in his side that was pierced. All this indicates that Jesus had a resurrection body, a transformed body, the best indication of a glorified body that we will have one day. Hallelujah. We will all have glorified bodies, not subject to pain or injury or infirmity or even death. That's what this passage is, the implication of this passage is teaching us. We are Easter people. As Jesus was raised, so we will be raised to new life. Hallelujah. Verse 3, however, indicates the focus of this conversation or the many conversations that they had over those 40 days. What were they talking about? Well, they were talking about the kingdom of God, the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Now, what was God's plan next? What was God's plan next? Are you ready for this? God's plan was for them to wait. Wait. Wow. Wait for the promise of the Father. The promise is not specifically stated here. We all know what it is because he had talked about it. And also he was going to talk about it more later in this passage. But he was telling them to wait. Wait for God's plan to unfold. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to wait. Anybody out there good at waiting these days? And I think even in our time, it was hard for the disciples to wait, but I think even in our time, we are even more conditioned to struggle with waiting. We turn the key or push the knob and the car starts. We push the remote button and the TV comes on and the channels are selected immediately most of the time. It's a microwave drive-through world where we expect things to happen at the snap of a finger or the push of a button. In the words of the song that was made popular by the rock group Queen several years ago, "We want it all, we want it now." And we get frustrated and even angry when things do not happen in the time frame in which we want them to, and especially if they are delayed to some degree. The disciples were expecting things to happen immediately, very quickly. That's seen in the disciples asking the question here next in just a moment. But Jesus is saying, wait, tarry, hold on. And the disciples are saying, Lord, are you now? Are you at this time? Lord, is it now that you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Well, here we see the disciples miss the real point that Jesus was making here. They were looking for an earthly and immediate restoration of the kingdom of Israel. Well, to be fair to the disciples, I mean, having seen the resurrected Christ, I mean, they had never seen anyone resurrected. Jesus had raised people from the dead, as he did Lazarus and Jairus' daughter, but that wasn't a real resurrection. That was more a bringing to life again. There was no real transformation for them as there was with Jesus' resurrection. He had a resurrected body they'd never seen. No one had seen that before. And surely they were thinking that Jesus, risen from the dead, was going to bring back the kingdom at that time, at that moment, now. But unlike Jesus, he kind of burst their bubble and their expectation. Someone has said, and I don't know the author of it, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans, right? He lays into their faulty thinking, and he plainly tells them in verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Jesus is basically saying to the disciples, it is not your business to know when things are going to happen. The struggle with the disciples is our struggle now and across the centuries. People have wanted to know when it's going to happen. And people have mapped out schemes and scenarios of the time frames, and they've all been wrong. Jesus is saying here, it is not for you to know. Now, to be sure, in the Gospels, Jesus did give signs and indication of his coming again. And many people believe that Jesus is coming again soon. I wouldn't argue with that statement, but Jesus said very candidly here, even as he gave signs and indications of his coming again, and prior to the second coming in the Gospels, he said, nobody knows. Not even the angels in heaven. In Matthew's gospel, this is verse 35, Matthew, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But no one knows the day or the hour." No, not even the angels in heaven know. The Son does not know. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man comes, it will be the sign as when Noah lived. In the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking. They were marrying and being given in marriage. This kept on until the day Noah went into the large boat. They did not know what was happening until the flood came and the water carried them all away. It will be like this when the Son of Man comes. Well, Jesus' primary instruction here is to be ready, to be prepared for his coming again, not to try to figure out when it's going to happen. Even if we did know Jesus was coming next week, how would we live differently? How would we order our lives differently? The primary lesson here, Jesus is saying, like the time of Noah, people were going about business as usual in their lives, their activities, passing over, not heeding the word of Noah. They missed the only means of their salvation. By the way, Noah did not know when the flood was coming. He did not know it was coming or when it was coming, only that it was coming. But he was faithful to share the message that God had given him in building the ark, and he never stopped. He never stopped working. He was faithful to complete the ark even when people did not listen. And even though he did not know when it was going to happen, he kept building. He kept working. Jesus is saying here, it is not your business to know when these things are going to happen, but I will tell you what your business is, what your mission is. Verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. That's the original mission. That's still the mission today for the church, for you and I. We are witnesses of Christ. This is where we experience Christ and it's related personally and corporately in both dimensions. Remember, in this context, the disciples were hiding. They were in fear. They were in doubt. They were not sure. They were living in an uncertainty, just trying to survive. I remember a few years ago a conversation I had with a retired Army colonel and a retired Navy captain, older in life, and they were asked about their mission, what their mission was now, and both of them held up a card that read, "Just survive." Just survive. And so many seem to be living in that reality. But here is the promise of the Spirit coming to breathe new life into these believers. How's it going to happen? Well, how was Jesus raised from the dead? It was the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same Holy Spirit, he's saying, that's coming to empower the believers to witness the name of Christ. We'll talk about more about this next week on Pentecost Sunday. But this is why Jesus wanted them to wait, so that they would receive the empowerment of the Spirit for the mission that he called for them to do. The word used in the text here for power is dunamen, from which we get the word dynamite. It brings with it the possibility of explosive power, and that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people were converted on that one day. Now that's explosive power, isn't it? Incredible things were about to happen. But as I relate this more personally, it's not just in the corporate meeting of believers experiencing a revival type of worship experience and event, as wonderful and renewing as that was and is, but the empowerment of the Spirit is for the Mondays through Fridays of our lives. We are moving in rhythm and timing with the Spirit. That's what this empowerment is for, to be witnesses. Now, in the original language, that word witness means martyr. Wow. Quite a stunning word, being a witness and martyr. To be sure, the apostles and early followers of Jesus, many of them, if not most of them, experienced a martyr's death. As modern-day martyr himself, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, indicated, when Jesus told the disciples about following him and taking up a cross, he was talking about a physical cross. As we know that many of those disciples died for their faith. As Church Father Tertullian says, in the blood of the martyrs is the seeds of the church. But I'm thankful, and we all should be thankful today, that being a witness does not mean necessarily that we're martyrs. And on the other end of the spectrum, it can be as simple as giving a cup of cold water in the name of Christ. I love what Mother Teresa, how she put it, not all of us can do great things. Not all of us may be called to give our very lives, but we can do small things with great love. What is it to be a witness? Someone who gives the testimony of what they have seen and what they have heard and what they have experienced. Hundreds of advertisements are people giving witness to what they have seen, what they have heard, what they have experienced. It's a word of testimony. And we see great evidence of this in the Gospels, like the blind man who Jesus healed. And they came to him and asked if Jesus was a sinner or not. And he said, whether Jesus was a sinner or not, I do not know. I only know that I was blind and now I see. He was a witness. of the power of Christ in his life. And I would say to you today and to all of us, if we've received Christ in our lives, each of us have a testimony. Each of us have a story. Each of us have a witness to share. And I think in its simplest and most powerful dimension, it means that we are willing to share our story. The great hymn Amazing Grace was written by, as we know, a former slave ship owner and trader, John Newton. He speaks the words like the blind man, even in that song, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Newton later in his life said, "Although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." Newton's enduring testimony and witness has reached hundreds, if not thousands, of lives by the simple testimony of his life and the words to Amazing Grace. Why do we do this? Because Jesus gave us the mission. But also, most importantly, because lives are at stake here. Wesley, in one of his most famous statements, said, "We have nothing to do but save souls." He said that because he knew about the mission, but also because he saw a lost world filled with hurting human beings. George Gallup said this, "The fact that 9 in 10 Americans are not committed Christians is worthy of concern." That's why we have this mission. But no matter what our age or station in life, this mission is going on. How is God using your story, your witness, to speak to others? The longer I live, the more I know that it is not our power that accomplishes this. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do what we could never do on our own. It is the Holy Spirit that breathes life, that brings transformation and change. I love the illustration by Corrie ten Boom when she used the illustration of a glove. And she said, "This glove in and of itself has no ability. But when the hand is placed in the glove and all fingers are functioning, it can do any number of things." I'm not Michael Jackson this morning, okay? So, we rely on the presence of the Holy Spirit if we're like this glove. It is only as the hand of God is upon us and the Holy Spirit comes that we can really perform this mission, that we are able to share our story as Christ intended. May we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We need your help. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe new life on us. Come, Holy Spirit, on this Ascension Sunday and fill us so that we might rightfully and truly be your church, giving witness of your saving work through Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us to live out the mission that Jesus has given us. Come, Holy Spirit, let us be the glove that your holy hands can use to work through us. And even if that means in the simplest ways of giving a cup of cold water in your name, or sharing a prayer, or making a phone call, or making a visit, Lord, whatever that may mean, we pray that we would be responsive and obedient to your Holy Spirit as you call us, as you lead us. For the sake of Christ and for the sacrifice of Christ that he gave for our world and for each of us. As your Holy Spirit comes to us and your love and grace comes to us, it flows through us to others. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the empowerment to do that in even greater ways as your church. We pray this in and through and for the sake of Christ. Amen and amen.
Please stand and join me in our closing hymn, He Lives.
Ask you to be seated for just a moment. We are going to invite Monty George to come forward. She is going to be joining us today. She is mother to Midge Kittredge, and Bill is here beside her as well. We formally want to welcome her, and just one question. Will you be loyal to the Spanish Fort United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
Thanks be to God. We
Thank
welcome you.
You.
Let us... We're going to invite her to go back to the narthex, and as you're leaving today, if you would please come by and welcome her, and Kitsy's going to give our benediction. Please let you stand back up.
As we prepare to depart at this time, I want to remind you of a few announcements. Our prime timers have a Friday night out on June the 30th at 6 o'clock p.m. They'll be watching Tom Hanks in A Man Called Otto. He doesn't make a bad movie, so you want to reserve as soon as possible. We want to remind you to include the dates for our vacation Bible school. We'll kick off with Family Night on June 11th, and VBS will be June 12th through 15th. Go to our website, call into the church for ways to volunteer and get your child registered. Our Primetimer Senior Adult Ministries will also be having a lunch bunch at the local steakhouse on June the 21st, and there's more information on how to register there. As we prepare to go from this place, we thank God for the wonderful word that has gone forth. May we go forth from this place with the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit to guide us, and may we abide in the walk of Christ as we go out to encourage others in the blessed reality of the Lord that we serve. Go in the peace and the love of Christ. Until we meet again, my friends, shalom.